Black Friday is upon us. While it's a beautiful thing for men that are single, or even women that are single with money, I suppose, when it is time for Black Friday to roll around, for a man that has a wife, has some kids, he may be whisked around from store to store or sent around on his own while she goes out to other stores and does the shopping simultaneously. A lot of money is being taken out of those checkbooks. And I've seen this happen in my own family. And when you've got money to spend on yourself, and when you earn money from your job and you know where it's going, it's a beautiful thing. So welcome back, MGTOW men. I hope that you recovered from the tryptophan that you had yesterday. And for those of you that are going out or have gone out on Black Friday, stay careful. Either shop online or make smart moves at the time you go out, because I know I was stuck in the line at Kohl's today for an hour and 10 minutes. So it was civil, but it was a long time. And I got a suit, okay? Need to do some Christmas shopping. It's fine. We'll see how the morale is going forward. And I want to talk today about Black Friday. And as it is Black Friday in the United States, and for those of you that are out of the country and don't know what this is, I don't know if it is essentially an international thing, Black Friday signals the first day after the last official holiday in the U.S. prior to Christmas, which is likely the most consumer-driven holiday that we have today, blowing Valentine's Day even out of the water. So since my MGTOW and minimalism video got a lot of attention, I figured I'd talk about something similar to that approach and look at MGTOW and Black Friday and MGTOW and consumerism and its connection to relationships today. What can we talk about? Any metaphors? Any hard meanings? There sure are. And I'm not going to knock those of you that go out and shop on Black Friday. I did it myself. I think that if you have a reason to go out, buy some better clothes for yourself for work, maybe to help get a gift for your mother or an uncle that you appreciate, that's a great thing. And I know that I stood in line, as I said, for an hour and 10 minutes. Was it worth my time? Probably not. But it only cost me $140 versus the amount that I could be paying on another day of the year and not at Kohl's. And that's the difference there. Nothing is truly black and white. And while I don't want to make that, you know, appear to be the case in any of my videos, I realize sometimes that happens. And smart consumerism is truly the best choice. Smart consumerism is a good thing, being tactful, being reasonable with it. And if you can make what you use even better based on the money that you spend, that should be the goal. And oftentimes, I would apply the 2-to-1 ratio. For every $100 I spend on myself, I spend another 200 or 1-to-2 ratio on my partner in my dating relationships. And that is largely my fault and my interest and infatuation with being a male and providing for my partner. And one of the first things that I want to bring up here is that men and women make purchases for different reasons. And that means that you have a long-term investment. But most of us don't have the time or the resources to do that if we are going to make something on our own, if we're going to be a farmer, or if we're going to make our own clothes. We don't really have the skills. Thus, we have to take advantage of the best opportunities to be a consumer in today's technological, domestic, and feminized society. We have to play the game right now and go to the store. And the best way to play the game is to avoid putting yourself into situations where you're at the beck and call of the people that are comprising 80% of the purchases today, which are women, which is noted by a Forbes article that you'll see in the description. And while this number is somewhat deceiving, as much of the reason for this is that women are the ones going to supermarkets, buying the groceries, and so forth, if you look at advertising, much of what is advertised in television is directly marketed towards women. And marketers understand that men will be more cemented in their opinions and personal experience with a product, using that as a reason to buy a product or a good or a piece of clothing. And that's going to be the best advertising, not necessarily mainstream advertising that you'd see in magazines or that you would see on television or that you would see now in social media ads. This indicates that women are likely to be the one making most of the purchases, as that Forbes article referenced. And women's products in general, whether it's clothing, accessories, Michael Kors handbags, Sephora products, perfume at Macy's, these items are all more expensive and they're going to be gone through quicker and more expediently than that of men's products. And especially with the advent of beauty bloggers and vloggers today, entrepreneurs introducing their new lines of makeup and so forth, and what was once popular is no longer popular. It's passé. It's no longer trending. And women are more influenced by these fashion trends and shifts. Thus, the amount of money that they need to spend to keep up with these shifts is higher than that which a man will spend to either look good or to maintain that type of style that he needs at work or to function at the gym or any other hobby that he wants to partake in. And the next thing is, purchases are often fueled by relationships. And the difference between many of the purchases made between men and women today is that men often make a purchase out of function. And while a woman would be more apt to make a purchase out of social acceptance. And I remember my ex telling me that I was breaking, breaking out on my back, acne-wise, because of the soap that I was using, which wasn't the greatest, as it was Ivory soap purchased from the nearby Walmart. But instead, she told me that I should buy soap from the specialty shop. Each package of soap would run me about $25. It was not that much soap. Well, I could get 8 bars for about $3 or $4 or $5 at Walmart. And to each their own, I wasn't going to do that. Okay, I didn't have the money to do that at the time. It wasn't smart. And it's my back. It's my upper back. It's a little bit of acne. Who cares? And it's not necessarily on my face even. I mean, people aren't going to see that part of my body. And I can't speak for married women or women that are at stores buying our items for their children necessarily. And while these women might be frugal, a man's consumer habits will be completely different once he begins to live with her and marries her. And I've made this statement so many times about my dad. I always imagined him living in a cardboard box if he was not married. And I chuckle about it, but it's partially true. And a man will live in a completely different environment if it's just one in which men are living in. And sometimes this is a benefit to man to be around a woman, though, in a relationship. Tom, I've gotten fashion advice from them, and I've learned from that side. But long term, I mirror how I dress based on the influence of men that I've been around and I respect. That's who you should naturally attract or use to determine your style. And this is just a glimpse, and a positive glimpse, of how relationships can actually fuel the market and fuel purchases. A small positive instance example. And understanding this, if you know that you're not going to make that much money, you won't have that much coming in, then you need to be smart. You need to understand where relationships will push your pocketbook to a place that's not safe. You need to be frugal, and you need to avoid relationships for that reason if you're in that situation. Because like I've said, even if this girl is not a large consumer, there is a barrier, and an almost impenetrable barrier, that society has created. The constant ability for her to compare her relationship to other relationships, causing you to have to at least keep up at a moderate level. And if you have relationships in your life that are equitable and you want to express appreciation in that way by providing gifts or experiences for that person, do so. This is just, to raise awareness of something that we don't often verbalize, which is that consumerism is fueled and catalyzed by the pursuit of a spouse, by relationships, marriages, and the need to stay afloat in a materialistic game that we play in Western culture. And many purchases made by men, even if they are things that a man likes, are at least subconsciously fueled by the incentive to attract women. And this is unique and telling too, because a man is far less likely to operate and make decisions out of his subconscious or in refutation of his conscious mind than a woman is. This proves how much of a draw that a woman has on recrafting and recreating a man's neural networking. And I remember talking to my ex one time about how her previous boyfriend wouldn't have bought this sports car that he did if it wasn't for her. And that, at my point, that was one of the biggest red flags during that dating relationship. And things didn't last much longer after that. Not that I necessarily acted directly out of that, but that goes into your subconscious, and that does influence how you interact with that person going forward. And I know for me that once I got a girlfriend, things I normally wasn't intrigued by all of a sudden received a different value. The car that I had, now it mattered to me. It mattered to another person, and thus it mattered more to me. And that's the main thing. If people didn't exist, if there wasn't anyone to impress, then you'd never buy that nice sports car necessarily. There would be no purpose. Whatever had the most function, that's what you would buy. But when you throw a spouse in the mix, or throw the incentive to procure a spouse, you create greater value for these things. And I think back to my old 2002 black Nissan Xterra that I got from my sister when I was a sophomore in college. Did I ever care about cars before? No. It's not that this thing was super nice. Never in a million years would I care about cars. But as a sophomore in college, my sister moved out to a different part of the country, and she left it with me. It was mine now. Mind you, this is 2014, so it's 12 years old, so it's not super new, but it was better than no car, and it kind of reflected kind of a style that I had, I guess, as a baseball player. I like doing things outdoors, so I was cool with it. And then come time for my ex-girlfriend to come around, I was happy that I had the car, and I knew that if I didn't, she would likely probably wouldn't have dated me. She had her own car, Why would she want to do that? There's this one commercial that jokes about DUIs, and it says, no car, no job, no fun, no girlfriend. It's accurate. And I started to up my style at this time as well. Things like that mattered, what I wore. A relationship will likely shift your consumer goals and your approach to money, and be conscious of these things and understand the red pills involved. This is not to knock having nice things if you want to and if you can afford it. It's to knock having nice things at the expense of keeping a relationship at float, or when you can't afford it and you're not able to benefit other people because of it. And it is to recognize the reality that no matter what we do, no matter who we surround ourselves with, our personal relationships depend on some level of consumerism. We can try and separate them, and you likely won't be able to, though. So always ask why. Whenever I write these videos, I think, why? Why? There's this circle, it's called the golden circle. It's used in ideation and creating content, and why should always be at the center, not what and how. So ask yourself why. Why am I taking her out to get sushi tonight? Is it because it's fun for us? Or is it because it's checking a box and it's giving me credit to have her in my life for at least another 2 weeks? Because that's all that, you know, a lot of relationships turn into. A man is buying things or taking her out to get things because it buys you more time to stay in that relationship, because it buys you credit. And it gives you, you know, and her a little bit longer. And that's not healthy. And that, if that's the case, your magic is going to run out at some point. Your well is going to run dry. You're going to have stress on you to keep that money coming in. Because many men, you know, would never have fallen into buying that house or feeding that mortgage when they shouldn't have, or during the middle of the housing collapse, or buying that Cadillac Escalade for the kids going to soccer practice if it wasn't for the relationship that they're in. And this also comes down to backbone. If you don't have a certain backbone, and I know I've been there, you will be more susceptible to these purchases. And stores like IKEA, furniture stores, some electronics and entertainment stores, these stores are built on the concept of marriage and relationships, and that's what they live off of. That's where they make their true cash. And remember that. Not only are white knights born in IKEA parking lots, as I can't remember who wrote that, but it was brilliant, they also are brought down one coffee table at a time. And we live in a visual society. We live in a society that has us owned by the things that we own. And sure, millennials are buying fewer things today, but the damage is done. And when it comes to committed relationships, a man is always evaluated, and our girlfriends are going to be saying and asking things like, well, what does he do? Is he going to be able to support your lifestyle? Take that into account. And the next thing is, some relationships turn into resentment over what is or what is not purchased. So many divorces are fueled by financial problems and fractures. And there was this time that I was in a Target late at night during between my junior and senior year of college. I was with my ex-girlfriend, and there was this whole slew of stupid materialism-driven purposes, whether or not I was shopping with her at the time, or she would come and show me what she bought or whatever it was, and all these crickets purchased for this chameleon she insisted on having and all this stuff. It was pretty pathetic, and I remember her wanting to buy this white rug. It was a very fluffy, pure white rug, and you never want to buy white. It's like a car. You buy it white, and you buy shoes. You better be driving around in Arizona where there isn't a lot of mud and the highways are kept clean. You have a little dust, or you better do an extremely good job of keeping it clean, because it's going to start to look nasty in no time. I don't really care about this, but because I had to put, you know, I hadn't put my foot down enough with past purchases, and by the fact that in my mind at the time, I figured that she was likely never going to get rid of these habits, I was frustrated. I realized I would have to live with this or hope that it changes, or else I changed it, or else this relationship would not turn for the better. So definitely some cognitive dissonance here at play here. And I got pissed at her. I bought it anyway and just stewed about it, being a spineless dude at the time that I was. And little things like this can cause fractures in relationships over time. The fact that you can't get along with the person for having no tolerance for waiting on eating as you're in the middle of a road trip, having to stop at a McDonald's, that little thing might cause a problem in the relationship. And I think about times that I've gone to baseball games, or I've gone on a little road trip with one of my bros, one of my guy friends, and we'll go 3 till midnight. We'll go out to the game and we will come back without eating just because we understand we don't need to like douse each other and spending money on each other, or, you know, doing all this and that. If we want to eat, we'll get something, but we're pretty frugal guys, and we're like, we can make it back. We got some good food at home. Well, we're all right. We already spent money on the baseball ticket. So if you don't have the same values with money as the person that you're living with or aiming to be a spouse of, things won't work out. And I'm not talking about this to overvalue money. I'm talking about this because it is true and it's proven. The majority of breakups are financially fueled. So what does that say about relationships? It's a lot about money, okay? And it's about survival. And to help snuff this out, to help detect a potential red flag, Ask her if she ever shops at thrift stores. And if she doesn't, that's okay. That's not necessarily an awful thing. That's not necessarily in the reason itself to cut ties. But if she says, and this has happened to me, I better never see you shopping in a thrift store. I better never see you wearing any clothes from Goodwill. Then we're going to have an issue. If that is said, that is a huge red flag. And if you shop at Goodwill, Plato's Closet, or somewhere like that, you know how clutch that is. Sure, I wouldn't have to shop there all the time, but I'm a 24-year-old graduate assistant. What do you expect? And she said an ultimatum that I can never be found in a Goodwill. Those places are great. I love donating to them too. So even though the life hack is to go to Goodwill in a very, in a lucrative, well-off area, you can find all kinds of good deals there from people that have dropped off items, she still might shut it down because of the status that is attached to it. And if you guys can't agree on something as simple as this, it's a red flag that shouldn't be ignored. And don't downplay these things, okay? Simple things, simple differences hold an unbelievably simple, significant impact. And lastly, I always want to leave you guys with some sort of application to why I talk about this. So why does this matter? This is not about avariciousness. This is not about storing up all that you have in your coffers, because being a slave to items and money is just as detrimental as being a slave to a woman that you've brought into your life for reasons solely out of sexual attraction. They can produce the same thing, dissatisfaction and debt. And the reason that I discuss these things is to simply bring awareness to it. You can't make an educated decision about your future choices if you don't know the situation. If you can read the playbook, then you'll be protected. And it also is to offer some red pills about relationships and to offer another red thing, red flags, because marriages are crushed by this. And there are three reasons, guys, that I kind of wrote down as to why I would want you to save your money and not spend it frivolously all the time on Black Friday and to bite that bait and to put yourself into situations where you can benefit others. And I'm going to list those three things right now. So number one, it's a beautiful thing to pick up and to be able to travel to in the location at random. And one of the beautiful things about being smart with your money is not only the ability to travel at any moment because you have the money, but because you can invest into things in your life that you can really enjoy, experiences and events. You can pay for airfare, or you can take time off work because you're not scraping by as much. And you can travel on the cheap for a long time across the nation. The opportunities are rich. The amount that you can get out of life is far greater. You can maximize your life that way. You can take up business ventures, travel ventures, entrepreneurial efforts, and not put yourself, family, spouse, kids at the same amount of risk. You're free from that in MGTOW. And the next thing, it's a beautiful thing to be able to spoil a family member. And when you're able to pay off your niece's college education and provide for her future, man, there is nothing greater than that. And sure, I would definitely like to be able to pay for a son or daughter as they go to college. But I know, because of other things in life, I don't want to have that. I don't want to have those kids. Although, thankfully, there's an outlet for that. So I've never said this before, but my middle sister, this is very influential in why I'm MGTOW, was actually a single mom for many years. She had a kid at unplanned at 20. She did a great job, but there have been issues. And my niece is 11. I don't know if they're going to be able to pay for college. And one of my goals in the back of my mind right now is that I hope to be able to provide a large amount of money to help provide for education in 5-6 years. So if I can save up for that, I would be so happy. It's a goal of mine, and that's one of that's one of the reasons why I want to go MGTOW. And why I don't want to really make for those purchases. I want to be able to benefit others of tomorrow. And that goes into another reason why I'm talking about this. It's philanthropy. I want to be able to donate to causes that I believe in. And for those that have donated to me, have become my patrons and so forth, I want to be able to do the same down the road and benefit that 24-year-old guy that is trying his best to help others and help himself. And I would be able to pay it forward. MGTOW doesn't have to be nihilistic, and it doesn't have to, in a wrong way, there are some good parts of nihilism, and it doesn't have to cut everyone off and cut helping other people off. It's about being able to funnel all that you have, all the energy that you have, and into investment that will truly count and that will truly multiply. That is MGTOW, and that is my goal, and that is why my hoodie is up. Is yours? And whether it is or it isn't, let me know at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter @sunrisehoodie. Thank you guys always for listening. Hoodies are up, man. Hoodie is out.